This morning I want us to look at verses 13 and 14 of John 15. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of friendship. He says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." What do you think of these words? And the question for us this morning is this: do you know this friendship? Do you know this communion with God, with Jesus Christ? Especially the Lord Jesus Christ. Is He our personal friend? The one who we know, the one that we walk with, the one that we converse with. Day by day, every day, we can say, "No one may be in my room, but I have my friend with me. Jesus Christ is with me." Well, what's your view of God? Do you see God as a friend? Or do you see Him as someone who's distant from you? Some people's view of God is very wrong. They think of God as being like a dictator who dictates things to His poor creatures. They have a wrong view of God. They think of God as being so distant from people, that He won't hear us, that He just tells us what to do and that's it. Some think that God has no friends, He is alone, or that He is not friendly towards anyone, but is a dictator. That's a caricature, that's a sort of a cartoon that people make and have in their own minds about God. For some, that is their religion. That is the attitude that they have towards God, that God is someone who just dictates to me, demands from me. And so, then they respond to God in different ways. Some simply reject Him, because they are rejecting this caricature in their minds. Some with blindness, they think that if they obey these things, then somehow they will earn God's favor. How do we respond to these things? Think about it. Can God have friends? Can God have friends? Jesus Christ says here, "Ye are my friends." So to the Lord Jesus Christ, He has friends. The Son of God has friends. But what kind of friends? What kind of friends can God have? Can God have friends who are totally opposed to Him? Totally be different to Him? You see, that's what mankind is. Mankind is a sinner. Sin has affected us. And in that sense, we are opposed to God. We disobey Him. We reject His commands and laws. So how can He be our friends? How can we be friends to God? How can God allow sin and those who sin into His heaven? We would destroy heaven if God would allow us into heaven with our sins. So the answer is no. God cannot have friends in that sense. Because He's holy, the Scriptures. Holy, holy, holy was what the angels would sing of God. His heaven is pure. And He cannot have His heaven defiled by our sins. What He does is to find a just way to forgive sinners and to cleanse them, to make them pure. What God does to find friends, and He gathers them amongst people who used to be opposing Him, who hated Him, who didn't want Him. And that's what God does. He goes and makes friends. He's friendly towards sinners. He finds a way to make these people His friends. What He does, He changes them. He changes His enemies. He changes their hearts. He changes their will. He cleanses them. He purifies them. And He makes them His friends. These people then are brought as their mind and heart begins to see, "I need God as my friend. I need God as my Savior. I need Jesus Christ." Then they begin to seek Him. They begin to change their minds about Him. They begin to repent. They begin to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And they begin to apply these things to themselves and say, Jesus Christ died for me. How much he must love me so that he might be punished instead of me. That's what God does in those who become his real friends. Are you one of God's friends? Is he your friend? Does he have any friends? The Bible says, yes, he has friends. Ye are my friends, Jesus says. Are you one of God's friends? So ask yourself this question again and again today. Ye are my friends. His followers are his friends. And he says, I'm so kind and loving towards them that I would lay my life down for them. That's what it means. He says, greater love hath no man than this. He's referring to himself. There's no one other than me who loves people in this way. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man, that me, lay down his life for his friends. I lay down my life for my friends. And he says, you are my friends. Now, does God need friends? Does he need friends? You need friends. I need friends. Does he need friends? No, he doesn't need friends. God is very happy in himself. He's totally another. He's not like us. We have to recognize that. We should not have a picture of God as being just like us. No. He's not dependent, you see, on anybody. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need friends. There's a wonderful relationship in the three persons of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need us. God is satisfied in himself. So he's not like us who need each other. We need each other. It is difficult to be alone. And so people have friends. People have loved ones. People have families. Children have their parents. And we are thankful to God for our parents. We see them as our guardian, our carers, the one who will look after us. And we see them as our friends who love us. But even though God doesn't need friends, yet he has friends. That's a wonderful thing. What if God said, I don't want any friends? I don't want any friends. But he doesn't do that. He has friends. And that's what I want us to think about. Friendship with God. Being a friend of God. And there are a number of things I will say and emphasize. What, first of all, I want to say, who are God's friends? And then say some things about what is friendship, and then go a little bit deeper. What is real friendship? To finish. The Lord Jesus Christ says here, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who are God's friends? He spoke of different people as his friends. Here the Lord Jesus Christ says, you are my friends. His followers were his friends. But then there are other people that we find. For example, in Isaiah we read, Abraham, my friend. Or James tells us the same thing. His friend, Abraham. And so there are individuals who are called God's friends. And here he says, I have such a love for my friends that I lay my life down for them. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. God has friends. Friends who know him. Who are God's friends? Friends, we could think about, friends can help each other in every situation. If you are God's friend, then ask yourself, well, do we help him? Can we help God? Does he need our help? What can we do for God? What can we do for the Almighty? Can we do anything? Nothing. He doesn't need our help. But he helps us. He's all-powerful. He's all-creating. He's all-sustaining of everything. And he sustains us. He's brought us into being. How can we help God? But friends help each other. God helps us. He shows that He is our friend. Who are God's friends? Friends most often are of the same mind. They agree with each other. Yes, God's friends would agree with Him, would respond to Him in agreement and like-mindedness. God's friends would know that He's always right. They know that they are not always right, but He is always right. And the only time that they can be right is when they agree with His will and desires. But these things are very simplistic, what we are talking about. There's more to it than simply agreeing with God to be His friend, to be friends of God. To be a friend of God is to love Him with deep sense of love, with a deep sense of knowledge that how much He has loved us in sending His Son to die for us. We have affections towards Him, and He has affections towards us, and this is experienced. That's what it means to be God's friend. God's friends are dear to Him. And friends of God find Him dear to them. So think about it. Who or what is friendship? That's another thing I want you to think of. What is friendship? Now, there are a number of things I want to say. What is friendship? When you think about friendship, what can you think of? Friends. How do I know this person is my friend? Well, one of the things is that friends know something about each other. To know about someone. And I'm sure you all know many people, don't you? But do you know them? There is a knowing and there is a knowing. Of course, we don't know everyone in a deep and intimate and detailed way. We can read about people. We can hear about people. We can see their picture. We can hear a recording of their voice. We can read biographies and books about people. But of course, that doesn't mean that we have any personal association or any kind of friendship with people. We may study about someone's life very deeply and read a number of books about that very person. You can say, well, I know that person. But of course, we don't know them. We don't know them as a friend would know them. We may not have met that person. We don't know them intimately. We can find out about people. Oh, it's easy to find out about people, especially in this day and age. You can just type in their name to see what you can find. There's always something you can find about somebody who is alive or who is dead. You can find out a lot of things about individuals, but that doesn't make you their friend. So you can. What is friendship? Is it simply knowing somebody or knowing about someone? Being a friend of Jesus Christ is more than that. And for Him to be our friend is more than simply knowing about Him. So something else to think about. We can also think about being a friend because we know them by seeing them. We see people. We can see someone and we have a sense of, then I know that person. So you might be in a school, you can be in a university, you can be in a workplace. And you know something about what the headmaster is like, what the boss is like, what different people are like. And when you see them, say, oh, I know that person. I know who that person is. You might have talked to them a little bit. Who is that teacher? Oh, I know that teacher. But do you know that person? Simply because you've seen them. Can you say, I know them? But you know, this can be the way people experience God. You know some things about God. You might have seen certain things about God. You might believe certain things about Him. Believe that He has made the world. That's without question, that God has made all things. He's a wonderful designer. He's given all the detail, all the order, all the design, all the arrangements, all the laws. The smallest of creatures are so wonderfully designed to the greatest in the world. Somebody who studies sciences, they can find all these things. You can't question it. In that sense, we can say, well, I can see God in the things that he has made, the creation. I can see him. But then also, someone can say, well, I can see God because I've become a student of the Bible. People can become like that. You've various people and they're reading this book, the Bible. They're reading. And that is what we find with some people who join the cults. They say, well, I'm reading the Bible. And you might be here yourself and you say, well, I can see so many good things in the Bible. I can see consistency in the Bible. I can see these prophecies in the Bible and they've been fulfilled or they are being fulfilled or they shall be fulfilled. And isn't that wonderful? I can't deny the Bible, you might say. Look at the morality that is taught in the Bible, the good things. It's changed my life in some things. I've been able to fix certain things in my life because of following the Bible. It's an authentic book. But the issue is, do we know the divine author of this book? Do we know him personally? Can we say, because I'm reading the Bible and studying the Bible, I'm a friend of God? There's more to it than that, friends. But we can say in that sense, I've seen the Lord and I am his friend. There are many people who saw Jesus, but were they his friends? But the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, ye are my friends. God has friends. Are we his friends? Is he our friend? Think about that. But also another way of describing friendship is that having respect for people, having honor for someone. And so to know someone by respecting or honoring. We can have a great respect for a teacher. We can honor somebody who is over us, our boss. Because you know the authority. You know their power. You know what they can do. But are they our friends? Do we know them? We can be at a great distance from people that we respect. But can we respect them and honor them? And then say, I really know that person. And that's another way of some people would treat God as well. This is not the way Jesus Christ is talking about here, about friendship. You see, some people can say, well, I have a great respect for God. And so I go to church. I think God should be worshipped in a serious way. And I should approach him in a serious way. And reverently and so on. And they feel very strongly about such things. But at the same time, it's possible to have respect for God as you might have for your boss or for someone in a place of authority and not be their friend. Many people become very religious and do many religious things out of a respect for God or out of respect for others who are religious, maybe their parents. And that's what you find oftentimes, and it can be even in churches or amongst people of all kinds of religions. You see this, for example, in the world of sports. Someone might in the world of sports may believe in a team. So I believe in this team. I know everything about this team or about an athlete. But doesn't know every member of the team intimately or that athlete personally. I don't know that person personally. I have not met them. I have not shaken their hands or I have not been in their home. I don't know that person. Even though I know everything about them in one sense, I believe in that. That's not closeness that we are talking about here. But is there a relationship with God? When we talk about friendship of God, we are talking about relationship. We're not talking about some general sense, some general religion and so on. But do we know him? The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to his friends and he knows them. They know him. They love one another. And he says, this is the way you ought to also have love for one another. And he fills their hearts with joy and gladness. And he speaks about this joy that he gives to them. He speaks about him answering their prayers and they can pray in his name. And so on. So there is this kind of much, much deeper relationship that we are talking about. Are we God's friends? It's not about having a general knowledge of God. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks very serious words in different places in the Gospels about those people who come on that final day, and God says to them on the day of judgment, I never knew you. And yet these people were religious people who said they believed in God and they knew God. But where is our love for God? Where is His love for us? Have we that love for God? Or experienced His love for us? God and His love is only experienced, friends, in Jesus Christ. His love for sinners like us is only experienced in Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom, as a sacrifice for sinners like us. That's how God demonstrates. That's how God commendeth His love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us, on our behalf. Are there some real and sure marks of the benefits of God's friendship and love in our lives? But is our hearts empty? Is it that there's a void inside of our hearts? Unless, my friends, we come to know Jesus Christ in this friendship that the Scripture speaks of, unless we find Him as the one who would forgive us our sins, then that void will continue to be. The purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this friendship, which is a mutual loving friendship and relationship. It's meaningful. It's not just in the head. It's meaningful. It's daily. It's experienced daily. It's not just going through some religious rituals and motions. Not at all. He says, this is the way it is. This is my loving relationship with my friends. I lay my life down for them. And then they respond by following me, by obeying me. Now, finally, what is real friendship? Think about some deeper way that we can think about friendship. How can we be one another's friends? It must be two-sided. In real friendship, it's always two-sided. It's not one-sided. Sometimes it is, isn't it? That there are all we have family. We all have family. They don't normally ring us, maybe, anytime, unless they want something. And we know, usually, that they have called because they want something. And it's one-way relationship we might find. Well, that's not very friendly. That's not very helpful. But this friendship with God is two-way. It's two-sided. And that's what we find in these verses 13 and 14. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This love comes first from God. God is the one who is loving. Jesus comes from heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that something to be remembered again and again and again? God has loved me, sending His Son Jesus Christ from heaven for me. His wonderful birth in Bethlehem. He comes with a mission to suffer. He comes with a mission to die for His friends upon the cross, on Calvary's cross. Jesus Christ is sent, and He comes as a friend to die for sinners. Jesus says, as it were, in eternity past and upon the cross, the way Jesus Christ dies, He's saying to His Father, Father, I have friends. Punish me instead of them. Father, forgive them on the account of my sacrifice for them. I am dying for my friends. Pardon them because I've died instead of my friends. I will take away their sins. I will deal with their guilt through my own suffering, through my own death on their behalf. And my friends, only the only person who can do that is he must be both God and man in one person. That's the way it is. His Godhood must support then His humanity. And that's what Jesus Christ has done. As a friend, He comes from heaven. He didn't have to. He doesn't need friends. But He comes for his friends to die. And he says, I lay down my life for my friends. Father, forgive them. These are my friends, and I'm dying for them. So Jesus Christ bears the suffering for our sins upon himself. That is God's side of friendship. I said to you, it's two-sided. It's two ways. And God does this for his friends, for sinners like us. Then what about us? What about if you are his friends? What about his friends? What would they do in response? You see, he says, they obey me. They obey my commandments. What is the command of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What's the command of Jesus Christ? Repent. The disciples preached repentance. These are the things. So the followers, the friends of the Lord Jesus Christ, they believe on him, repent of their sins. This is one of the marks. And this is something that they continue to trust him, continue to sense their own need of him and needing cleansing day by day. That's the response that comes. Those who would be Christ's friends would respond by faith. Have we trusted in him? Do we believe in him? Do we recognize that our friend has suffered for us? Do we take it personally and say, my friend Jesus Christ suffered for me instead of me. My sins were laid upon him. The sin that was between me and God, he took it upon himself. And he is my friend. Isn't that Song of Solomon refers to the Lord about my friend. He is my friend. This is my beloved. This is my friend. And so the response from us, if you are God's friends, if you are Christ's friends, repentance, deep sorrow over our sins, putting away sin, and turning to God for forgiveness. And from our side, that's from us to be Christ's friends by way of obedience. Do we depend on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he that kind of a friend? Oh, my friends, are you God's friend? That's two ways. But then another thing about friendship, a deeper aspect, this friendship must be personal. It must be personal. He speaks to them, you are my friends. You are my friends. He's being specific about them, personal about them. You are my friends, he says. My friend. It's not some abstract thing. It's not a general term that he's using. It's very personal. And friendship is a very personal thing. The Lord Jesus Christ shows us personal love for us. He pities us. He shows us his promises. His promises to us is personal. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's all personal thing. His plans for us is very personal. He speaks about his plans that he has for us. It's one of good. And not of evil. And he personally hears our prayers. God personally, through Jesus Christ, our wonderful friend, he hears our prayers. He answers them. The experiences that we have is very personal with our friend. Oh, and we respond to him. We personally respond to him. In this experience that we have, we respond to him when our heart is touched by our friend. And we can say, oh, but I'm so unworthy. I'm an unworthy sinner. I have personally sinned against God. I've personally rejected him, against him and him only. I have sinned. And yet, if he's working in us by his Spirit, we must bow the knee before him and personally say, cry to him, Lord, have mercy upon me. I trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For me personally, come and forgive me, Lord. Come and cleanse me and change me and save me. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in the soul of a sinner and makes him very personal, attached with God. Your friendship, my friends, must be very personal. If it is not personal, it's not friendship. And that's how the friendship is with God and how it begins. But let me say as well that this friendship is, yes, it is two-sided, yes, it is personal, but it is a very willing friendship. It's not forced. In any friendship, both are willing to be each other's friends. It's not an unwilling friendship or relationship. It's not forced at all. No. The Lord Jesus Christ, freely and willingly and voluntarily, He came to die and He came to save sinners. He came for His friends. He willingly came to Bethlehem to be the Savior. Imagine that. Imagine His willingness. Imagine the humiliation that He had to suffer by even being born as a babe for God to become man. What moved the Lord Jesus Christ to leave the glories of heaven and to be mocked by sinners and to be beaten and to be laughed at and then to be crucified and treated so shamefully? What moved Him? It was all willing. It wasn't forced. He wasn't forcing Himself to do it. It was all voluntarily done. Oh, my friends, we have a willing friend in Jesus Christ. What love there is in Him. Now, if you hear this and feel in your heart that you're lacking this and that you're heading to a lost eternity and that you have not become Christ's friends, then how gladly we must come to Him. We must love Him for what He has done. We must turn our hearts to Him this morning. Oh, do you long to find Him, friends? Do you want to be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ? He's willing. He's a willing friend. He's the only true friend that we could have. And the only true friend who can forgive our sins and forgive all the wrong that we have done against Him. He's a very humble friend. And He will forgive. Are we willing? There is to be willingness from both sides. But then another thing, let me say, it's a very simple thing, but it's true. Friends like each other. Friends like each other. Isn't that true? We can't say, I am your friend, but I don't like you. How can God possibly like us? Think about that. How can God like me? Can He like me? Should He like me? Here I am, so full of sin and shortcomings and wrong thoughts and so proud and so disapproving of God's holy commands and say, no, this shouldn't be in the Bible, or this is too hard, and what does God expect of me? Why does He expect me these things? I can't be like that, disapproving of His will. How can He like you and me when we are like that? But He sees in His friends, in those that are His, and what He sees and what He is going to do with His friends, what He has planned for His people. And that's what He sees, and that's what He likes. He sees how He's going to change me. That's what He sees. And He says, this is my friend. I'm going to change this, my friend. I like him so much. I love him so much. And I like what I am going to do in him. He's going to give me a new heart, and He's going to give me a new life. He's going to forgive me. And He sees His work in me, what He will achieve in me. And that is what He loves. And that is what He likes to see in sinners who are His friends. He will be training, and He's disciplining and discipling and forming me through life. In all kinds of situations of life, He's going to be working in me. He gives me new desires. He gives me new likings. He gives me new opportunities. He gives me new gifts. And finally, He takes me to His heaven. And He completely will purify me. How could He love someone who doesn't have a heart, who is selfish, who gets easily angry, who is very slothful? How can He love a waster? How can He love someone who has been an unbeliever, who has rejected Him? How can He love someone who is a hardened religious person? How can He love someone who is an arrogant person and hateful person and a greedy person? How can He love someone who has been unfaithful, an immoral person, or someone who is habitually lying or pleasure seeking. How can he love that? Oh, my friends. But for his own pleasure in eternity, Jesus Christ, he planned to come to die for sinners, all of those kinds of people. And he chose to save sinners. And he saw what he would do in them to transform them and to save them and to make them his friends, to make them his sons and daughters. And he changes us faithfully, and he brings humility within us. He makes us truthful. He sees that he will release us from the bondage of sin. He loves that work. He likes that work. He likes what he will see, what will be completed in us in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the end product. Oh, my friends, when God is working in our soul, then we also begin to like him in response. There's a deep love for him and love for what God loves. Our values change. Our values begin to change. Our standards of what we once favored will change now. Our taste changes to the things that are pure and kind and gentle and godly, truthful, things that are eternal. Our view of the work and our view of the home changes. Our view of relationships changes. Our view of money changes. Our view of ultimately life changes. Our soul, eternity. These things change. We respond to God in a loving obedience and willingness to serve him in everything. Our view of sin changes. And what his friends do, they give everything out of love. Willing love to the Lord Jesus Christ for his glory, for his use. My friends, this is the kind of friend we have. He sees what he's going to do and he likes that. And he has given himself. He laid down his own life. No one forced him into it. But he laid down his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. So my friends, do you see this? What a friend we have in Jesus, who does so much for us and in us. What a friend we have in the Lord Jesus, who would love me and give himself for me. What a friend who will be with me always, even to the end of the world. Who will stick with me closer than any family, any brother that we could have. If I'm physically alone, if I'm shut in into a room somewhere, he is there by his Spirit. I can talk to him. I can pray to him. He answers me. He feeds me by his word. He's so gracious to me. Every day he gives me grace. If I need help, he supplies all my need. I can call for him for his wisdom. He is my wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. What a friend we have then in him. So we come to love his values. We come to value Jesus Christ as our only true and eternal treasure and friend. To be God's friend, friends, and for him to be your friend. What a wonder that is. What a blessing that is. Listen again. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. That's the cross. For his friends. To be able to say that I know the one who is the only Savior, who took my punishment on the cross and freely forgives and purges. And I know him. I don't just see him. I've not just heard about him. I know him. It's become personal. It's his mutual friendship. He is my Lord. He is my King. And he says to me, you are my friend. I can see the fruit in your life. He commands me to trust him, and I do trust him. He commands me and says to me that I must seek his face and repent. And I willingly see all that I need and all that I have. And I turn to him, turn away from myself, turn to him. And that is done willingly. It's not, I'm not forced into it. And as Jesus Christ works in my heart, I realize what a fool I was before when I rejected him. And he humbled me and I fell on my knees and sought him in repentance and faith. He's become my friend and he has made me to be his friend as well. He's shown me what a friend I have in God and in Christ. We obey him then. We believe him then. He is a friend who calls me to come to him and trust him and hand over my life to him. How will you know him then? Do you know him? You will know him and his love when you take hold upon him. You trust in his work. You will know him when you know that he has laid down his life for you. You will know him by the fruit that he shows in your life as well as you trust in him. And he is your only hope. And he says that I give you my joy as well. That is something we find here. My joy I give unto you. My friends, you cannot achieve any of these things by yourself, by your own efforts. Don't listen to any kind of false teaching of that is man-made and man-made religions. Jesus has paid it all. And he will be the sinner's friend. What a friend we have. What a friend Jesus Christ is to a sinner like me. And how he receives me to be my friend. And for him to be mine. May this be true then for all of us this morning. For Christ to be our friend. Amen. Let us pray.